Any children that went to Nolensville Elementary School, how many years did you work down there, Carrie? So you would know Carrie, because she greeted you as you walked in the front door.
She would run you out if you didn't act right.
Well, we're glad you're here this morning. Welcome. I think she just ran the office, didn't you?
Ran the school.
Ran the school. Any other first-time visitors? If not, again, we want to welcome everyone here. Announcements this morning in the bulletin. Please be sure and fill out your RSVP for the Wednesday night dinner. Committee meetings are today with session meeting at 6.
Times are listed there.
Right.
That's a little extra time. This is the first regular meeting of the year for the committee. Christian Education needs to meet, so some of the members can go work with the children at 5. That's why they meet at 4, one reason. Let's see. I guess that's enough about that.
Okay.
Wednesday night, I want to say a word.
Okay. Kids for Christ meet today at 5. Men's Fellowship breakfast will be next Saturday at 7:45 a.m. And that's all I was going to mention, Larry, so you go ahead and talk about Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, we had a good turnout. 30-plus people came. Brother Joe gave us a Bible lesson from Acts. This week, we'll have a Bible lesson on Wednesday night from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 16. That will be the scripture I'm preaching from this morning, but it will possibly be very different, a different approach Wednesday night. But we're thinking about discernment, our seeking and hoping to learn God's will. And so he'll be here again Wednesday night for that activity. And then we try to get over here at 6:45. Last week we got out, we think, by 7:45. This week, if anybody can stay, we hope we can have an hour and 15 minutes. I know people have to get home and get their children to bed. But if you come this week, be here at 6:45 to start in the sanctuary. We can get started to be out by 8 o'clock. Supper is at 6. Please, if you want to eat, and you're encouraged to come to eat if you like, please turn in a RSVP or just let us know you're coming so we can prepare food for you.
And also, Larry, you want to talk about the groundbreaking this morning?
Can I just add a PS for the Wednesday night? Now, Larry tells y'all to come, as you should, because he's a preacher and he sent us. But as just a member who came dragging her feet, I probably would not have come Wednesday because I was sleep deprived of work. But my committee chairman scheduled a meeting at 5:30, so I had to be here. And then I stayed, and I was very pleasantly refreshed, restored, uplifted by what we did during that service. And I contacted or talked to several other members during the week who were here. I said, what do you think about Wednesday night? And they all said, they were pleasantly surprised. In other words, you just make the effort to come, and it will do something good for you individually, and then I think for our church. So I'm just a layperson that got pleasant for Wednesday night.
Thank you.
It was worth it, and it
really
worth your while.
Anybody else for a win tonight? Who goes for having a win tonight? Okay. We may get to start construction sometime this week out here, at least moving dirt. So we want to have a religious service. Commitment of the project to the Lord as a group. And we're going to try to meet at 10 o'clock if it's not pouring down rain. 10 o'clock right out in the middle. I guess rain will determine just what we do or where we stay and everything. But we do have a crosswalk. We can't open the doors and hold them out. But at 10 o'clock, we will have at least one shovel here. And we will just assemble between the two buildings or somewhere near there if it's raining. 10 o'clock this morning.
Are there any other announcements that need to be made at this time?
Yes. As you know, this year is our 25th annual barbecue by an auction golf event. Only this year, it's not going to be quite a golf event. kids can go in and play games. It's going to be a twist to it this year. It's going to be pretty good. I'm hoping that the word got out last year, how great, what a wonderful turnout we had with the barbecue, the gospel band, and the silent auction, that this year it'll be maybe that again, more people. It's going to be April the 23rd from 3 to 7. Also this year, we're not going to close the silent auction until everything is over with at 7. So it won't be a big confusion and people grabbing their stuff and checking out leaving, and we've still got another hour of things going on. I have left letters back here in the vestibule on the table. If anybody works for a company that can take this and get them to donate something, please pick up these letters if you go somewhere and meet quite often and they know you. All you have to do is ask. These people are very generous. You have to ask them. And most of these eating places are allocated every month a quota to give away free meals. So it's there for the table. So the letters are back here. If you will just please pick them up and just simply ask them. Thank you.
Melanie?
Now, to spell that committee meeting, I have. That's the Mother's Day Out committee. And I started the Mother's Day Out program when Lizzie was 2. She's now turning 19. And I thought I would stay with it until she started school, which she did. And then she stayed with it until she finished school. And now she's in college. So it's about time for me to retire or move on to graduate from preschool. So we are looking for somebody to direct the Mother's Day Out preschool. Don't want to end. And I don't think it will, because there's a strong committee and a strong teaching staff that can carry it on. But we do need somebody who wants to step in and take the role of director. So we are accepting applications. Julie Bumar is committee chairman. I think Joyce probably has applications in the office, if not a number of times. So if you or anybody you know are interested, it's a 2-day-a-week job, and the pay is good for the 11 hours you get paid for. The rewards, though, come with the contact with the community, the support among the staff and the children, and it's just been a blessing in my life as far as the job goes. And we encourage the congregation to think about it. If you feel so called to put in an application, please do so. Either talk to Jimmy or Joyce. Thank
you. All right. Thank you. We'll sing both.
I was just gonna insert him right there with it. Jim?
If anyone would like to volunteer to be a substitute teacher, we're having, time of year to take vacation, take off, please let me know if you might volunteer for a substitute teacher class. Maybe I go to school often. If I'd like to volunteer to that, maybe.
Okay. Any other announcements? Karen? Any other announcements? That's everything. I think we have. Okay. Larry says, let's move on. Please be sure and register your attendance on the pads that have been passed out. Prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests? We're glad to see Pam back with us this morning. Okay.
Carrie Mavis' mom had a stroke early in the week. She's in Indiana. Her name is Ruth Mavis. She's doing okay, but pray for her. A neighbor, Mr. George Lowe, passed away this morning. A lot of us know him. Lived down on Stanford Road, so his family has a prayer.
Okay. I'd like to put my mom on the prayer list. Her name is T. Henry. we're possibly facing another hip replacement. We're trying 3 more weeks of something else, and then basically I think they're just putting it off for 3 weeks, but we'll see. And living 5 hours away makes it kind of hard when the daughter has to come go and take care. So pray for me, pray for our family, pray for my mom, that we'll get this taken care of. Also, the very same week, this week, my mom's sister, she's been really sick, but this week she was diagnosed with leukemia. Sorry. They gave her 6 months to live if the treatment doesn't work, a year if the shots do work, and she starts that Monday. And for you, for those who've been with me, you know that it seems like every 2 years someone passes away in my family. So this is just pray for our family. It's tough right now. Her name is Ruby Justice. So this week's not been a good week. So, but just pray for our family. Are there others, Pam? It was the family of who? Myrtle Vaughn. Okay.
Next, Nancy and I are taking another work group to Pensacola on March 6th, so remember us in prayer.
Okay, I think Kim Westcott said she might go on that trip too. Yeah. So we'll pray for the for your trip, your work trip. Are there others? If not, please pray for those that we have mentioned. Pray for those that are in our armed forces, wherever they may be stationed. So if you could bow your heads for a moment of silence. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive if you will turn in your bulletins. Out of the depths have I called to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my cry. I wait for the Lord with all my soul. I hope for the fulfillment of his word. For in the Lord is love unfailing, and great is his power to set men free. I wait for the Lord with all my soul. I hope for the fulfillment of his word.
Let's all stand this morning and turn in our hymnals to hymn 357, Jesus Loves Even Me.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
And he even loves us when it's raining and dark and dingy. So if you just do it for me, smile just a little. Some of you are, but everybody smile just a little, because he loves us even on a day like this.
Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this will my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so
thinking of Jesus loving us, and I was, as we were singing, I was thinking, what if He didn't love us? What if He said it's okay to go and spend eternity with Satan and his angels? What if He said, I don't care what happens to these people? What if He didn't care when we hurt, when we lose a loved one or a friend or a neighbor, or when our closest friend or family member is suffering, going through surgery? What if Jesus wasn't there? Lord God, I just come this morning thanking You for loving us. Thanking You for loving us even when we're unlovable. Lord, even on dreary days, as Sam has mentioned, maybe You love us most then because we need You more. Lord, thank You that we can come into Your house and share our needs and pass around our concerns, and that together we can lift them up to You. Lord, when we give a burden to someone, when we share it, yeah, they take half of it or maybe more, Lord. But You are the one who comes and lifts our burdens. And we thank You. Thank You that You are present. Thank You that we can worship You in truth and in spirit. And now guide us as we worship. And now we pray, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
We express our faith in God this morning by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It's page 716 in your hymnal, and it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, and now and ever.
If you will, please, to hymn 234. 234, and let's sing the first and the last. First and last stanzas.
The Lamb upon His throne, our God.
list that as for the 10:30 service only. So the We Are Learning is 478. And let's just try to sing one verse of that. Okay, it's a familiar tune, different words. I'm sorry? Is it? Well, I'm done. All right, different words. Let's sing the first verse. Here we go. That shows you more than I know. Here we go. That one, didn't it? Okay, thank you.
We're in for a treat now. For those of us who were here several Sundays ago who heard him, we really enjoyed it. For those who were not here, you missed a treat, but luckily you're here today, and he is also back. We have special music today by a gentleman by the name of Mr. David Crispin. He's going to sing for us, and I assure you, it is a treat. Thank you so much for coming.
Good morning. Good morning. I bring you greetings once again from Union Congregational Church of Weymouth in Braintree, Massachusetts. Last Sunday, I do a sing-along with the congregation, and I announced to the congregation that this week I was going to come down to Nolensville and bring greetings to this nice church here in Nolensville. And there was a round of applause. Now, was that because I wasn't going to be there on Sunday, down there with her right now? Or was it because I was bringing greetings? Or, and my life is very public in my church, was it because I was coming down on Valentine's Day to be with my fiancé? I think that was the reason. It did the same thing. I'm going to sing for you today a very serious song. By the way, that was very serious, my love. I do this at our Monday Thursday service where they have the office of Tenebrae. Do you do that down here? And we do a very dramatic one. We do it with the choir and the deacons, there's 12 deacons, and each one reads a couple pieces out of the crucifixion story, and then the choir does a piece. And this one, as the service goes on, it gets darker and darker and darker to the crucifixion. This particular piece, I want you to envision the church is almost black. It's an evening service, and it's called Rise Again. And if I can keep the music in the right order this time, we'll be better off. Drive the nails in my hands, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see, 'cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise.
rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead and mark my name. My love for you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon I will be free. 'Cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead and say I'm dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong. Go ahead, try to hide the sun, but you will see that I'm the one. 'Cause I'll come again. Ain't no power on earth can keep me back. Yes, I'll rise again. Come to take my people back. Yes, I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Death can't keep me in the ground.
Amen.
Thank you, David. It was very good. Thank you, sir. We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sentence today comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 116, verses 12 through 14. How can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Would the ushers please come forward at this time?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we have so many blessings. We know we don't thank you often enough. Lord, we ask you to take this time today.
Let's hit. Keep this church moving forward. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hymn 251. Again, we have a familiar tune with different words, but I think you'll recognize the tune right away. Let's sing again, first and last.
This morning will be read by Jeffrey Seaman.
We read this morning from Corinthians 2, 6 through 16. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirits within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Word of God for the people of God.
I trust that you have a little handout or insert with a 5 circles on it. I got a new compass, so it would appear, and I wanted to draw a lot of circles. But that's really not what happened. I keep thinking about what one presidential candidate said a number of years ago, kind of the theme of his campaign, and he kept having heard from his campaign manager, it's the economy. It's the economy. And I think they added the another word at the end of it. What I want to say this morning, it's a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual matter. That is, understanding, or we've used the phrase discerning the will of God, or what it is that God would have us to do. It's a spiritual matter. It's not a natural. The Apostle Paul divides people into 3 groups or 3 categories. In this chapter and in the next chapter, he says first that there are some people, or he indicates that there are some people who do not have the Spirit of God. They are called the natural people. And then he says, there are those with the Spirit of God who are referred to as spiritual people, and various versions of the Scriptures would use the word, various words for spiritual or natural. And then those with the Spirit of God, but who are living by the world's standards. One version calls them worldly people. Another version uses the word flesh, people of the flesh who are living, they've trusted Christ, but they're certainly not following Him. And Dr. Bill Bright refers to these and describes these. Dr. Bill Bright was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. I believe it's called Campus Crusade for Christ International. Bill Bright called these people natural, spiritual, and carnal. C-A-R-N-A-L. Natural, the people without Christ. Spiritual, the people in whom Christ is alive and active and Christ is in control. And then the carnal people who have invited Christ into their lives, they have, quote, trusted Christ as their Savior, but they certainly have not and are not following Him as Lord. So the natural, the spiritual, and the carnal are fleshly, are worldly. And those three words, bright three words. You look at the three circles at the top, where there are three circles together. One is described as the self-directed life. And that circle represents a life, someone's life. And there's a throne. Talk about the throne of God. There's a throne, or a great chair, a place of authority in the middle of the life. The first circle, the self-directed life, shows self on the throne. Self is in charge. Oftentimes when self is in charge and leading the life, we get to the point we don't know what we're going to do. And we say, I just don't know which way to turn. And that's pretty natural. This life, with the cross outside the life, you can see illustrated there, is a life without Christ. That's the natural life. And we call it the unchristian, the non-believer, the unsaved. Or you could put a number of words there to describe that person. So, the spiritual person is one who has invited Christ into his life or her life, trusted Christ as their Savior, but also trusted Christ and trusting Christ as the Lord of their life in the present time. One who is directed and empowered by Christ through His Holy Spirit. He's a spiritual person because the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of Christ, same Spirit, Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ lives in this individual. The spiritual person is one who is directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. He is living, or his is a Christ-directed life. And then the other self-centered life, you can see self is back on the throne. Christ is still in the life. But he's down in the corner. Maybe hidden in the hall closet. Maybe even pushed down into the basement. Or up into the attic, where that furniture that we're going to get rid of sometime is hidden. Worldly person, some call him. Carnal, another version of the Scriptures would call that person. The person who has received Christ into their life, but who lives in defeat. Because he is trying, or she is trying, to live the Christian life by his or her own strength. The carnal person, or the person living by the flesh, the worldly person living by the standards of the world, that life is also self-directed. Seems to me that that person invited Christ into their life just so they could escape the big fire that's promised for those who do not trust Christ. Paul writes to the Christian church and talks about these church members being carnal people. They have become Christians. They have joined the church. They have been baptized. They have made a profession of faith. But they were living like they hadn't done any of this. Living still by the world's standards. So Paul writes to the Corinthian church explaining that if they want to know God's will, and they were coming out of a heathen world, pagan world, they had to determine. God had to reveal to them in so many cases what they needed to lay aside and what practices they needed to not lay aside, or it was okay to keep following or keep exercising or keep practicing. How were they to shape their lives as Christians? How were they to do it? What was acceptable for a child of God? And then what was not acceptable for a child of God? So he writes, Paul does, telling these new Christians that to determine God's will, to know what was right and wrong. Oh, they had the Old Testament. But to understand even what of the Old Testament, see, as Christians, Paul says, you don't have to go by the dietary laws. We learned last week that it was okay to eat the unclean animals from Acts chapter 10 and chapter 11, Peter's vision that we looked at in detail last week. And God revealed it through a dream to the Apostle Peter that it was okay to disregard the dietary laws of the Old Testament. If God made it, the voice in the vision said, it was clean. It was okay to eat it. So there was a lot of decision making to take place, a lot of understanding. So Paul says, explains that understanding or discerning God's will, he says it's a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual matter. And he explains that in order to understand God's will, we must have Christ within, or the Spirit of Christ within. Of course, Jesus in the physical body can't come and live in us. When we talk about Jesus coming to live within our heart, of course, it's His Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, that comes to live within. And Paul says, if you're going to understand what it is that God wants you to do as God's people, it's a spiritual matter. You must have the Spirit of Christ living within. God's Spirit within us and in control of our thinking. Like Paul said in another place, it was no longer him who was living, but it was Christ living through him. Chapter 3, we only read from chapter 2, but chapter 3, Paul tells the congregation, folks, you're not spiritual. I will not make that charge because I believe that we have some very spiritual people in this congregation. So this may be more of an affirmation of what you or we already are. And it may be an okay, but it also may be a challenge to some who have put Christ down in the basement, maybe in that metal cabinet where we've got the paint and the chemicals that we don't want anybody to get to because they might be dangerous. You know that place, if you have a basement, or your garage, or out in the detached garage. You know, those things that you put away to use only when absolutely necessary to poison the weeds. We might use this paint again, or to clean up something, you know, with paint thinner and all those dangerous chemicals that we put out there. Maybe some of us have put Christ in that part of our life. So maybe if that be the case, we are challenged to let Him out. Put Him back on the throne. Get out of the way ourselves and let Him control our life. So Paul says to the congregation, folks, you're not Christians, or you're not spiritual. You are Christians. You're still in the family of God, but you're not living like Christians ought to live. You're not spiritual. These people had believed in Jesus, but they were not being influenced by Him. They were not being guided by His Spirit. They were not following His teachings, the teachings of Jesus. Barclay translation of what he says, I could not talk to you as I would to spiritual men, but I had to talk to you as to those who had not yet got beyond merely human things, as to infants in Christ. Basically, he was saying you're a bunch of babies spiritually. New International Version renders chapter 3, and I think it's the first or second verse. He says, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Mere infants. And then in verse 2, he goes on to explain that a little further. He says, I gave you milk, the milk of the Word. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for the solid food. You were not ready for it. They could not digest solid food because they were not trusting Christ to enable them to digest it. But one version calls it, or explains it, that they were still under the sway of human passion. These were Christians now, but they were still under the sway of human passions, not following the Spirit, God's Spirit. So Paul went on to say that their action indicated what kind of people they were. How did he know they were not spiritual? Because they were not acting spiritual. A man came to me one day, called me up on the phone. He said, I hear you've been talking about me. And I said, okay, what about? He said, I hear you said I'm a gold digger. And I said, yeah, I said that. Well, why would you say that about me? What he was doing, he had met a woman who had divorced her husband and met this guy, and he got all her money out of the sale of the house. It wasn't much, but he got it. And I warned her, stay away from that guy. So she came to talk to me about it. I told her what I believed, what I thought, what I knew was right. And she goes and tells, and I said, well, he's just a gold digger. You need to leave him alone. Well, she goes and tells him that. So he gets mad at me. And he calls me up and says, you said I'm a gold digger. I said, I did. Well, why would you talk like that about me no more than you know about me? I said, well, all the evidence that I have received, all the evidence from what I know about you indicates that that was a correct judgment. That was a correct judgment. So I went down and had a cup of coffee with him. I didn't run from him. Went down and had a cup of coffee with him. That's the first time I ever paid over $1 for a cup of coffee. And that was a number of years ago. But I still remember it very well, because I laid $1 on the counter after a cup of coffee and they just kind of looked at it. And I said, well, how much is it? And they said, $1.25. Well, that's beside the point. But went down and sat with him and talked with him. And we didn't become fast friends, because that's what he did. And she gave him all her money, and then he was out of town. And I knew that was what was going to happen. Well, the good part of that story, she finally got back with her husband, remarried, but after she had blowed her, at least her half of the sale of the house. So that's the good part of the story. And she shouldn't have left him. I knew them both, and she shouldn't have left him somewhere. But Paul said that the way you're living, folks, indicates, the evidence from why you're living indicates that you're not living like Christ wants you to live. And how were they living? There was envy. There was strife. And he said, as long as there's envy and strife among you, you're not following the Spirit. That was Barclay's version, NIV. says that there's quarreling and there's jealousy among you. And that these activities or these attitudes, these reveal that you were still under the sway of human passion and that your behavior was merely on a human level. They had not gotten it yet that it was a spiritual matter to discern God's will. So let me ask the question, what kind of people are we? What kind of church are we? Are we a spiritual people? Are we a spiritual church? Are we a natural? Do you have anybody that's a natural person? Just has never trusted Christ as their Savior and Lord? Or are we carnal people? Trusted Christ to be our Savior, but not yet allowed Him to be Lord of our life. Another question, who are we being influenced by? Are we being influenced by our natural inclinations? Are we being influenced by the world? Or are we being influenced by Jesus Christ? Two more circles at the bottom. We look at the two circles at the bottom. Traits that characterize each person. One with self on the throne and one with Christ on the throne. Legalistic attitude, jealousy, guilt, worry, discouragement, critical spirit, frustration, and on for those who are defined by bright as carnal. But those who are Christ-centered, trusting in Christ, exemplifying the fruits of the Spirit, like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and goodness. Their life is in our life, empowered by the Spirit, introducing others to Christ. An effective prayer life understands God's Word, trusts God, and obeys God. Are we able to discern God's will for us? Folks, it's a spiritual matter. And the spiritual man, and the spiritual woman, the spiritual teenager, spiritual child, we have the mind of Christ to reveal God's will to us. The encouragement is to be filled with the Spirit. Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 11, Jesus is talking about prayer, to asking God. And he says, will a man give his son a snake if he is hungry and ask for an egg? Or would he give him a stone if he asked for bread? No. And then he goes on to say, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And maybe it's just that we need to ask Him. And as the Holy Spirit of God, God living in us, Jesus living in us, in the person of His Holy Spirit, we're able to discern and know and understand God's will for us as individuals and as a congregation of God's people. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you give us your Spirit to live in us, to direct us, to teach us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to convict us, to convert us, to consecrate us, to your kingdom's work. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is it, 366? Stand together and sing the first verse. 366. Maybe your response is a public response this morning. Certainly we hope that everyone would say, Lord, let your Holy Spirit be in the center of my being.
Maybe yours is a public response. You'd like to come and commit yourself publicly to the Lord. Or come and invite this office, God's Spirit, to be the center of the 366.
This song was written by a dear friend of mine, 85-year-old gentleman that passed away about 10 years ago, and it's called At Day's End. Is there anybody happier because you passed his way? Does anyone remember that you spoke to him today? Now the day is almost over, and its toiling time is through. Is there anyone to utter now a kindly word to you? Can you say tonight in parting, with a day that's slipping fast, that you helped a single brother of the many that you passed? Is a single heart rejoicing over what you did or said? Does the man whose hopes were fading now with courage look ahead? Did you waste the day or lose it? Was it well or sorely spent? Did you leave a trail of kindness or a seed of discontent? As you close your eyes in slumber, do you think that God will say, you have learned one more tomorrow by the work you did today? Amen.
Christmas. That was wild.
He was.
And I, he said at the end, he said, and I read this months ago, and never did bring it. And he said, I was thinking while I was there, well, of course he did.
Oh, yeah, he did. But